Hello and welcome to Cat the Baker. I'm Chef KB, and this is part two of my trip to Italy. Italy, it's a little less modern. Kind of when you leave Switzerland, Germany, France, things start looking a little bit different. Maybe just like less money economically, right? So the trains, they're good, you know, but you can just tell the train station, super, super old. Paint is starting to crack from the walls and just things like that. Like, you know, the surroundings. It was kind of warm. It wasn't cold. We get on the train to Sorrento. Takes an hour. And it was fast because we were just catching up. We were talking. Haven't seen each other in 5 years. We get to Sorrento. They're staying at a different Airbnb. Like, they're staying in one together. And these are my German friends that I met with. And I was further away. No idea where I'm going. And I'm just following, you know, like my maps. I get to my Airbnb. It's just a simple room with a bathroom. And the bathroom had a ton of lemons everywhere. And I'm like, oh, I guess lemons here are a thing, which they were, because lemons grow in Sorrento. Like, the climate is perfect, a lot of sun. There are all these lemon farms, which I realized, you know, as I stayed there. And everything I bought there had something to do with lemons. Like, I got a lemon purse. I got lemon soap. I got a lemon scarf. Everything was lemons. And I'm like, oh, I like lemons. But I, you know, I didn't bring my lemon dress. I feel like that's the one place I should have brought it. But at the same time, I'm like, well, I guess it's nothing special, right? Because everyone's wearing lemon dresses in Sorrento. So I'm just excited that I'm there. It's been this long day of travel. I've basically skipped a day of sleeping. Once I landed, you know, and we got to Sorrento and I walked to the Airbnb, I was like, oh, wow. Like, I'm definitely back in Europe, cobblestone streets, super bumpy with my suitcase, you know, kind of a pain to roll it because of all the cobblestone and just uneven roads. The history, right? The history. I sleep, even though I woke up a lot of times just with the whole funky, like, time change. And then I wake up, I open up the window, and it's just sunny. I have this beautiful view. Like, my Airbnb was toward the back, so I have the back view of this hotel. I'm not staying there, but this hotel is a pool, and it's just a really nice view of the pool. I can't use it, but it's sunny. I see the pool. I see the ocean in the background. I'm like, oh, like, I'm here. Like, it's beautiful. So I'm just excited to be there. I meet my friends. They have like a room with breakfast included. So I get to the cafe where they're at, and their breakfast was basically a brioche pastry with a coffee. I'm like, oh, okay. So I go to the cafe and I get, what did I get? I got a sfogliatella. I don't know if you know sfogliatella, but they're delicious. Like, when they're made like the right way, it's so easy for the dough to be too thick. The dough has to be very, very, very thin. And because it's so thin, it's very crunchy. And then it's filled with a custard filling, and you can get different flavors of custard. So when I saw the sfogliatella, I said, that's my breakfast. Like, that's what's going to happen. We sit, we have our breakfast, sweets, and we decide, okay, we're going to go to Capri that day. And to get to Capri, you have to take a boat. So Sorrento is right on the coast, and Capri is an island about like 40 minutes away, you know, by boat, depending on the size of the boat. Like, our boat took about 40 minutes. Okay, so we get down, we walk down to the marina, but the marina is way at the bottom and we're at the top. So Sorrento is at the top of cliffs. And to get down, you've got all like, I don't know, 200 steps. Like, it's just, it's a long way to get down, but it's beautiful, you know? So we're walking through to get to the marina. And we're taking pictures because everything is just stunning. Like, the view of the ocean, blue, like the bluest blue, so pretty. The water is so clear. I don't know, we're just excited. You know, we're excited to be there. I'm excited to be there. We get to the marina. There's lines, you know, because there's all these different boat companies. There's this one counter and nobody's there. And it says Capri. And we're like, oh, like, let's go over there instead of waiting in line. We get tickets. They say, okay, board in, like, I think it was 1 hour or something. We walk around a bit, get on the boat. There's a downstairs or an upstairs, which is outside. We want to sit outside, like, of course. We go upstairs, and it's just, like, it's a little bit windy, but it's a beautiful day. I guess it's windier than normal, but the boats are still running, so everything's fine. We see Capri. We get into the marina of Capri. Very, very touristy. Like, a lot of boats. Once you get there to the marina in Capri, there's all these cute little, like, shops and ice cream, like gelato, souvenir. It's just beautiful, you know. But it goes up directly. So we start to walk uphill and then more up. And then there's steps. And anyway, we're too far up when we realize, oh, we could have taken, like, it's called a funicolare. Maybe I'm saying that wrong, but it's kind of like a train that goes up. It's not a train. It's more like a lift that's like on the edge of a hill that takes you up. So we could have taken that, but we didn't realize it. So anyway, we're walking this whole time, but it's beautiful. You know, we see the ocean, pretty wavy. There's some people swimming. They're seen as kind of not normal because it's so wavy, you know, but they're kind of in this cove. And then we're walking around, and it's just all these different alleyways with steps and views of the ocean. And it's stunning. Like, it's absolutely beautiful, you know, and it's just narrow paths, but it's crazy. You know, people live here on this island and it's just alleyway upon alleyway, you know. So we go into a few shops and then we're hungry. So we go to this restaurant and of course we get pasta, right? I think I got cacio e pepe, which is, it's a pasta with this like pepper. Typically, it's just like a pepper, butter, like very simple. But this one had kind of a cream sauce, which is not traditional. But I'm like, okay, you know, I'll have that. The pasta was al dente, but Italy's al dente is not like U.S. al dente. Italy al dente is, oh, this needs like 3 more minutes, but it still tasted good. One of my friends, she had a carbonara, and my other friend had a lemon cream sauce with her pasta, which was really good. So everything is about lemons, right? So I had this, like a fresh squeezed lemonade, which was very fresh, very sour, because it didn't have a ton of sugar. Probably better, like healthier, you know? But it was very sour. We walk around some more, and it starts to cool down, like it's getting kind of windy. And then we see the ocean, like the waves are kind of getting bigger, but we go even higher. So there's this minibus. So Capri is tiny. It's a tiny island and it's just built up, right? So all you do is just go up and there's all these beautiful houses and shops and they're all overlooking the water. There's two parts of Capri. One is like you go up a little bit and there's like a kind of a center where there's cafes and bakeries and restaurants. And then there's another place, it's called Ana Capri, and it's even higher. And it's kind of like on top of a cliff on the far side of Capri. And when you get up there, like you have to take, I mean, you can walk up there, but it's kind of more challenging because of how high up it is. So we took this bus, and the buses are very short because there's no space. So they're mini buses that seat, like they literally have like 5 seats. I'm not even kidding. And then everyone else stands, but they don't fit a lot of people. So it's easy to go up, but then once you're up and you have to go down, it takes forever. Okay, so we had to meet the deadline of, I think it was like 4 p.m. to take the boat back. And it's 3 p.m. and we're realizing, oh, this line to get back is really long. You know, and not every bus is empty. Like, they're already full. So they're only taking a few people at a time. You know, luckily, all the other lines were going to the regular Capri Center. They weren't going to the marina. So we thought we had time to see some more, but we didn't. we had to go back to the marina, and it basically took a whole hour. By the time a bus came, it just got very close, and we're like, and what if we miss the boat? You know, because I think that was the last boat of the day. I mean, I'm sure nothing crazy would have happened. To be stuck on Capri, like, is not a nightmare, but we were just like nervous, you know, we were gonna miss it. But we make it in time, we get to the marina, we get back on the boat, but now the waves are crazy. The captain of the boat is not letting people up top, you know, so, but it's packed like downstairs. So I say, can we go upstairs? And he's like, okay. So, you know, I don't think that was his plan, but it's so packed on the inside that my friends and I, we go up top, and then other people go up top too. But I go all the way to the front, and there's a covered area, you know, so I'm like right there, and I'm telling my friends, like, it's probably better here because it's probably going to get windy. So they're like, no, like, you know, and they go to different parts of the boat. The boat leaves, crazy waves, crazy wind. It starts rocking. This is the reason the captain didn't let anybody up. But meanwhile, like, the upstairs has all these people now, and everybody's getting wet. Like, my friend is getting soaked because she thought the back of the boat is better when you're seasick. And I'm like, no, it's not. Go to the front. You know, but so she's feeling seasick because the waves are crazy and the boat is rocking. Plus, there's giant waves and she's totally getting soaked. And at first, like, it was funny, like, people were laughing. But then this is happening for 40 minutes. Like, it's not funny. Oh, and I wanted to say on Capri, like, there wasn't that much to do. You know, we ate there. We saw, like, souvenir shops. But there was also a cathedral, which was historic. The special part about this cathedral is that they painted a long time ago. I don't know the years, but they painted on the floor this painting, and it's tile, and it's painted on the tile, this giant lemon tree with, you know, angels around it and Jesus, and I don't know all the figures, okay? But it was beautiful, and you couldn't walk on it. You had to walk on the side, the edge of the cathedral floor. So that was really different. I'd never seen anything like that. And it was a beautiful church. Like, no matter where you go in Italy, churches are so beautiful. So I could never pass up a church. I had to go inside all these churches. Okay, so we're back in Sorrento. And then we just kind of needed time out, you know, because those waves were crazy. And as we happen to walk through some alleyways, we see a dessert shop. And we're like, yes, like, we need dessert. So I get this, like, gelato cup. This espresso, you know, we have this whole, like, dessert feast, and it was amazing. Like, it was just so nice. And I'm thinking, oh, I probably, you know, maybe we should have gotten other food, but we had that pasta earlier, so it's fine. It's fine. Later on, we get this arancini, which is a risotto ball bound with chicken stock and cheese, and it's delicious. And it's rolled in breadcrumbs and deep fried. Obviously, you can't go wrong with that. You know, so we're spending the rest of the day just, like, seeing Sorrento, walking around. We're so tired. We get back to our rooms. So I just wanted to tell you, I got the sourdough, the chocolate sourdough, out of the oven, and it's beautiful. It really puffed up, and it tastes great. Again, I didn't put extra chocolate on the inside, but I tried some. I toasted it, and I had it with cherry jam. And a coffee. I got this new coffee pot. It's like a mocha pot, they call it. But it has the Italian flag. It has the colors of the Italian flag on it that I got in Sorrento. Anyway, I just used it. It made me very happy. And I ate it with my delicious chocolate sourdough. Yum. It wasn't as, like, it didn't have all these crazy holes, you know, the way sourdough does, because the cocoa powder. So just know that if you make it, cocoa powder changes the consistency of the bread, but it's delicious. It's perfect for jam. Okay, I want to tell you, I know I'm interrupting this whole Italian thing, but I just had a funny experience. Little, like, not funny at first. Okay, so 2 years ago, when I lived in Aspen, they were remodeling the St. Regis Hotel. And the furniture they had, it was designer furniture, you know, stupid expensive. Anyway, the employees could take it. So once the higher-ups took what they wanted, right, like it's all these rooms. Anyway, they were remodeling and getting new furniture. So they didn't want these lamps, and they're Ralph Lauren lamps. They're stupid heavy. They look cool, like they're very modern, but anyway, there were two lamps left, and I took one, and I'm like, oh yeah, this could look nice, you know? And then someone working there said, these lamps are like $1,200. And I'm like, what? Like, this is just a lamp. Why is it $1,200? But it's so heavy. Anyway, my assistant said, just take them both, chef. You can sell one. And I'm thinking, sure. Like, I'll take both. Okay, so I took both lamps. I use one. Like, I have one in my apartment now. It's nice. Like, I like it. I use it for, you know, my desk and the computer. Okay, fine. This other one, I've moved with me twice now, thinking, oh, I'm going to sell it, right? The listing price is, it's like $1,200, or it's $1,199, okay? So I initially listed it for like $800, okay, 2 years ago. I got some people that were interested on it, but it was like a scam, right? They're trying to give me fake money to take this lamp. Didn't fall for it. So anyway, the price kept going down because, I mean, no one's going to buy a stupid lamp, right, for this amount of money. Anyway, a few months ago, I think it was down to $600. And then somebody was interested saying, I'll take it for $400. And I'm like, no, it's already half the price. Didn't hear from him again. So then 2 months ago, someone was interested saying, I'll take it for $400. But he lives like 2 hours away, so it took him until now to pick it up. Again, this is through Marketplace. There was no like profile picture, so I'm like, is this a scam? He said he'll pay me with cash. But then I looked it up, and they said, beware when people pay you with cash because of counterfeit money. So I'm like, okay, I'll meet you at the bank and I can deposit it there. And he's like, I'll just pay you through Zelle. And I'm like, okay, great, you know. So I'm hoping this is not like a weird person. Again, there was no profile picture. Like, it was just like a cartoon body in the profile picture. So I'm thinking, is this like a weird situation? He shows up with his son or something. It turns out he's from France. And only, you know, the French guy wanted this lamp. So he paid me. I felt like a drug deal. I've never done a drug deal. But, you know, I'm unwrapping the lamp. He's inspecting it. He's looking for like some sort of Ralph Lauren logo. I don't think it has one. Actually, it does. It does on the side. Anyway, so he was looking for that. He took the lamp. He Zelled me. It happened. It took 2 years. And I thought, I have to tell my assistant. Like, it finally happened. I need the money, so I'm cool with it. It is like less than half of what apparently it was worth. But again, I never paid anything for it. So it happened. I just wanted to tell you, me telling this story now, maybe it seems silly, but I thought it was very funny. So yeah, I sold the lamp. Okay. One item less in my storage. Great. I have like, you know, all these other items. Baking items. Okay. So the next day, I had to help my friend with a photo shoot. She was getting a photo shoot done with this famous artist in Sorrento. I forget his last name. His first name was Raffaello. Anyway, she paid him, I don't know how much, to take pictures. And his work is beautiful. I saw it later in a church and I wanted a print. The print was 100 euros. Okay, that's like $130, $120 for a print. I'm like, no, I'm good. It wasn't even in a frame, but it was a beautiful picture, you know? But I'm like, this is a ripoff. Like, normally prints, I would pay like 50 for a print, okay? But not 100. Okay, so she paid him to do like engagement pictures, okay? But I didn't know the scope and she asked me to help. So I thought she just wanted me to help like with, you know, dress changes. I meet her and her soon-to-be husband and we walk to this beautiful like chapel. It's like a chapel, but it's outside and you've got these beautiful arches. It's like a monastery type. And it's beautiful, like very historic. Like this is the real deal. So we go up these staircases and the artist is there. He shows the room to change in and there's this beautiful balcony. You know, my friend, she brought all these dresses and clothes to change into. I help her and she has like four different costume changes. So this is like a 2-hour thing. So I'm helping her change her costumes. There's no mirror. So I'm like showing her like through my phone, you know, her face for makeup. And then we go outside on the balcony and it's beautiful balcony. Like one side is overlooking Sorrento. There's a like a cathedral and a church. And the other side is right on the edge of a cliff, right by the ocean. So I thought these were engagement pictures, you know, so I'm ready for them to take all these beautiful couple pictures. Like the artist is more obsessed with her. So they took beautiful pictures in her outfits, you know, so she's standing on the edge of the balcony, like up on the like wall. And I'm freaking out because, hello, like it's right on the wall. Like, and I'll skydive any day, but seeing her on the edge of the wall almost made me like pass out. I could never do that. I would not do that. Okay. At least when you're skydiving, you have a parachute. So mentally, there's some sort of safety, even though that can fail, but then you have the emergency parachute. When you stand on the side of a wall, there's nothing. And it was super windy. So I was just like taking pictures and freaking out, you know. So I was taking pictures with her cell phone and also video. She wanted me to take video of this whole thing, like behind the scenes. Anyway, he's taking like thousands of pictures, a lot of pictures, and they're beautiful poses. So she's out in this balcony on the wall. The wind is blowing her dress. It's a beautiful dress. And then the artist is like, okay, so... He tells her fiance, okay, get in there. And they take like, you know, 10 pictures together. And then she does a costume change, tons of pictures with her. And then, just get in there. And they take like 20 pictures. So I'm sure they had some beautiful couple pictures, but this whole thing was about her. And I mean, she's beautiful. I don't blame the artist. It was amusing. You know, it's more like an art session, you know, and I guess it makes sense because the photographer is an artist. So, yeah. And then I had to leave because I met with my German friends because we were going to go to Positano. Okay. So anyway, my friend continued with the artist and her fiance and they went to his apartment. I guess he made ravioli from scratch. So I don't know. They had like this whole... lunch with the artist and he took more pictures. So that was a whole other thing that I couldn't be a part of. I probably would have loved to be a part of that, but I had another mission and that was to go to Positano. So I meet my friends on time. They say there's a strike. There's a train strike that day. And I guess that happens a lot in Italy. So all the tourists decided they wanted to go to Positano too, and they took the bus. So that means the buses are sold out. Our only option is to take a ferry. So we go down to the marina, which takes like 20 minutes, like all the stairs. Like we're up on the cliff, we gotta go down all the cliffs. They say the next ferry is available in 3 hours. So then we could only be in Positano for like 2 hours. And we're like, it's kind of weird. You know, we probably could have seen Positano in that time. It would just be like to see the town. Okay, it probably could have been done, but we felt like that's a lot. Because when we went to Capri, we were there for 4 hours, and that felt super rushed. So 2 hours in Positano seemed stupid. We go by this other place that does tours, and we say, can we get a tour to Positano? They say the only tour available was a night tour to Positano. And we're like, let's do it. Let's do it. Let's be crazy and do a night tour. So we don't have to take any buses. It's a driver. So we have a personal driver. And I guess there were 7 people total. So he said he'll pick us up around 6 and he'll drive us to Positano. We'll be there for 4 hours and he'll drive back. So we're like, okay, yeah, that's cool. It was like 70 euros, like not cheap, right? That's like $80. But it seems reasonable, and this is the only way we're really seeing Positano, even though I would have liked to see it during the day. But okay, I'm not going to complain. I'm sure at night it'll be beautiful. So then I say to my friends, let's go to a lemon tree farm. You know, I love farms, and I couldn't sleep at night from Thursday into Friday very well. So I was looking up like lemon farms, and I wrote down these addresses. And I say, there's a lemon farm, but it's like a 30-minute walk and it's uphill, you know, but oh, maybe we can stop by there. So I'm thinking like American mindset. You can just stop by places because they're open and it's not an issue. And then we'll just see when we get there. Okay. We start walking uphill. All these cars are passing us and there's no sidewalks. Like we're just like walking uphill and it's pretty hot. And I start seeing all these lemon trees, you know, and it's beautiful. And then we get to the area. Like, I thought I had an address, but it wasn't like, oh, this is now where we are. This is the business. No, there was like nothing. It was just a farm. So we didn't know how to get to where we needed to get to. So we call this number, not on my phone, but on my friend's. And I think it was roaming. But anyway, turns out you have to make a reservation. And they're done for the day. So we just walked all this way. I think it was like 2 miles. You know, not far, but not super close. Kind of annoying, right? It was uphill all the way. So I'm like, okay, it's cool. Like, we just got exercise. So then I put in this other address. And turns out you need a reservation for that. So in Europe, you can't just stop by places. You have to have it figured out, make reservations. There's no flexibility, okay? Like, this is my mind where I'm thinking, oh, you can just stop by. You cannot do that. So then there was one more address. Turns out that address was like 10 minutes away from being in town where we were originally. So we basically walked in a giant circle and we're now in the countryside. So now we go back to basically where we came from, like a little bit on the other side of town. The nice thing was we go through alleyways instead of the main street, okay? But we're coming across all these motorcycles. Sorrento has a ton of motorcycles, and gas there is not sold by gallon. It's sold by liter. So it's a lot more expensive. It's like 5 times higher than it is here, okay? So it's more efficient to have a motorcycle. So there's all these motorcycles driving through these alleyways, which I don't think it's legal, but I don't know. There, I guess it's fine. And we're walking back through these alleyways, always constantly running into motorcycles. We get back into town. Now we find the entrance of the lemon farm. We're there and we're like, thank God. Like, we're so happy. We're so excited. And we just want a limoncello. So the reason to go to these lemon farms is they make their own limoncello. So this farm was beautiful. And they had this whole seating area in between the lemon trees. So we sat, we got like little appetizer, you know, it's like little balls of mozzarella with tomatoes, like pieces of bread. And then we ordered a limoncello spritz, which is like limoncello is made with vodka. So I guess they put the limoncello in there with sparkling water. And it was delicious, like super simple, but they made the limoncello themselves. I get drunk because I can't handle alcohol because I never drink. So I'm like, you know, kind of out of it. like feeling super tipsy and tired, you know? So we don't have that much time before the night tour. So my friends decide they want to look at some shops. And there was some great shopping, like really nice leather bags. Like there, the Italian leather is cheaper than here, and it's all made there. Also a bunch of cheeses, like all this stuff is super cheap. I went into a grocery store, prosciutto, I don't know, like a quarter pound, I want to say, was like $2. Okay, well, technically three. It was like €2. So really high quality stuff for a cheap price. Anyway, I'm like out of it. So I say I have to go back and lay down. So I went back to my room. I just needed a break. That limoncello kind of was rough on me. And I didn't sleep, but I just like laid down. And then I met them at their room. And we met the driver for the Positano night tour. Okay, so we're there. And then we're talking amongst ourselves. And then we realize the driver is talking to us, like touring us. We didn't realize. And there's other people. There's two Americans and two people from Scotland. And we're kind of in the back. So we just realize, oh, he's like talking. So then we try and listen. But it's very thick, like Italian English, you know, like it's English, but you have to listen very, very closely. And we're driving through the windy roads from Sorrento to Positano, which took about 40 minutes. And we're kind of getting sick. Like the roads are super windy. I feel like a boat would have been better, but we didn't have that option. And we're just getting super queasy and we're in the back. Okay, so all of us are like, oh my God. We're finally able to get out. He stops at the top of Positano. Like there's a cliff overlooking the whole Positano. Positano is kind of in a cove and it's on the edge of these cliffs. It's a town built on the edge. So the Amalfi Coast, like that's where I was. It's a southern part of Italy. And all these little towns, they're all built on the edge of a cliff. So there's no flat land, you know. It's all very hilly. So they just built all these towns by the ocean up. And it's a beautiful sight. Like everything's packed on top of each other. All these houses, it's just built up a cliff. And you've got these windy roads to get down. And there's only one road, you know. So the driver lets us out. And he's like, okay, now you can walk for 4 hours. I'll meet you back here. There was like one gas station. So we start walking. Meanwhile, it's about to be sunset. It just happened. Okay. So now it's nighttime. We go down to the water. We walk down all these alleyways, like really cool, windy alleyways. The souvenir shops are kind of similar to Sorrento and Capri. Like once you've seen one, you've seen them all. It's just like lemons everywhere. You know, at first it was cute. I was like, oh, I need to get lemons, everything, like everything with lemons. Already did that. Now, a few days later in Positano, I'm over the lemons because they're everywhere and everything's super expensive. Like they have like designery clothes with lemons on it. And I thought it was cute, but I look at it and it was €140 for, I don't know, a skirt. So I'm like, no, this is stupid. Okay, so we keep walking down to the water. We take some beautiful pictures and there's some seafood restaurants. You know, we're like, oh, getting some calamari would be cool. We find a restaurant. I get calamari, very delicious. I get like a salad and some grilled eggplant. I love a good eggplant. And they grill it there and they put olive oil on top with a little salt. It was very tasty. And then we go and get dessert. There's this place, it was called Yummy. And it was right on the edge of like this road. And it starts getting really cold. The wind, like you can really feel the wind because the town is right on the edge. But we still have like 2 more hours to kill. But it's dark now, like the stores are closing. We're very limited on what we have left to do. So we probably should have taken that boat earlier that was there for 2 hours. Like it probably would have been enough, but we didn't think it would have been. So now we're like trying to kill some time. And the restaurant we ate at, they did not do separate checks. And even I said, I'll do credit card, but also cash. That was not an option. I had to put everything on my card. And the woman got upset at me that I wanted to split the check, you know, so she was not friendly at all. And then from there, we go and get dessert at this yummy, like patisserie. I get a rum baba. If you've ever had a rum baba, it's one of my favorite things. So it's like a sweet yeasted dough, and you put it in a mold, and it comes out, it kind of looks like a cork, you know, because it has like kind of this fat top, and they put into a mold. And it just has like a long kind of shape. Anyway, you soak this in a rum syrup. So it has rum, usually some sort of spices, like you might have some allspice in there, some clove, like sugar, you know, it's like a sugar syrup with rum. Heavier on the rum, less on the syrup. Anyway, they had this there. I had it. I was so happy. It was delicious. I love rum baba. I also got a mini sfogliatella, and I got one more thing. Oh, I got a tart. So it's a fruit tart, but it had these special miniature strawberries on it. So they're called Bosque strawberries. They're very easy to find, but here it's specialty, like super expensive. And they're the cutest, tiniest, sweetest strawberries. They're so, so tiny, like probably a pain to clean, you know, like the stems. Anyway, they did a tart with these mini strawberries, and it was so good. Even though I was full, I took it with me, you know, to eat like later or the next day, but I had to get it. Okay, so then we keep walking around, we sit, like it's cold at this point. We just really want to go back. Like now we're tired, it's like 10 p.m. We go back to the meeting point, the other people are already there because the town's pretty much shut down. Like there's nothing left to do. All you really have to do there is either shop, eat, or like go to the beach. And the beach is not like a beach. The beach has a lot of boats, you know, it's not like a beach you really hang out at. So yeah, once everything is shut down, you don't have a lot of options. So we finally reached our allotted time and we went back into the car. Like everyone's super tired and the roads are just so windy getting back. And we're just closing our eyes, like trying to not get sick. He drops me off at my room. I was just like tired, you know. So the next day, that was when my friends were leaving. So the next morning I met them. I said, okay, let me get coffee with you. They sat at that place where they got their free breakfast, like their pastry. I got a sfogliatella. Like, I feel like now I just have to keep getting that because I'm not going to find it that good anywhere else. And that was my go-to pastry. So I got a sfogliatella, an espresso. I love getting espressos in Italy because you get the cute little espresso cup. And it just tastes so good. It's not bitter. It's creamy. It's smooth. It's just done right. So good. I love it. And then you get it with a little, like, sparkling water to, like, cleanse your palate. I love that it's not in a to-go cup or anything. Like, you drink it at the counter. Everyone takes their, like, 10 minutes in the morning. They have their espresso and then they leave. So I got an espresso with a sfogliatella, sat with my friends, and then they had to go pretty much to the train station. They went to Pompeii, which I had tickets to go to a few days later. You know, so they went to Pompeii. So Pompeii is in between Sorrento and Naples, and they had to go back to Naples. So they stopped in Pompeii to see that, and I didn't go with them. So instead, I had a day by myself, said goodbye, went to the train station with them. And I decided, you know, I'm just gonna like not stress, take a day for me, because the last couple of days we'd done like all these things and it was great, you know, but I just wanted time for me. And it was beautiful. Like it was sunny, it was warm. And I thought, you know what? I'm gonna go lay and sunbathe, which I never do. So there in Sorrento, at the bottom, like over from the marina, they had these kind of like a deck. It was a deck, kind of like a pier out into the water. And they chopped off with this deck a part of the water. So you could swim in that area. And it made the water very still. Like, it's in the ocean. But because of this deck, there's no waves. You could swim there. And then there's an opening into the ocean, and it's super wavy. And then that's where the boats are, you know. But this area, you can just, like, lay on the deck, sunbathe. You can ask for an umbrella. That's, like, 10 euros extra. So I'm like, no, I'm good. Like, in the sun, it was warm. It wasn't, like, you know, super extreme hot. It was just nice because it was warm in the sun. So the thing is, you have to pay. This was called, like, Leonello's Solarium, right? It was 20 euros just to lay on the deck. I'm like, okay, it's okay. I'm going to just have a me day. I paid the money. I lay on the deck, and the water is so blue, so beautiful. But the wind is, like, kind of chilly, you know? And I know I want to go into the water, but I know it's going to be cool. Like, this is ocean water. Super blue. I can see, like, small fish swimming in it. Super blue. And it's wintertime. Like, it's getting to be wintertime in Europe. This is a warmer area in Europe when rest of Europe is now getting cold, right? But compared to LA, it's still, like, cold. It's, like, always warm here, like, in LA. Anyway, I got my swimsuit. I put on some sunscreen, you know, and I just lay. And then there's this Australian. There's an Australian guy, and he comes and sits, like, two places down. And then behind me, there's Americans, there's Germans. There's, like, nobody Italian. It's just all tourists. Okay, it's fine. I'm a tourist, too. I order sparkling water, but then that takes forever. Anyway, it doesn't arrive. I have to ask for it again. And then the guy gets upset that I didn't get it. Anyway, I finally get it. I'm like, damn, this was just sparkling water. I swim in the water. Super nice. Like, just a great experience. It was chilly, but the fact that it was this crystal blue water was perfect, you know? And I'm just swimming around. But then I get out of the water and it's cold. So I quickly have to dry off. And they don't give you a towel. Like, I had my own travel towel. They don't give you anything. Like, everything's extra. You know, that's how it is in Europe. I decide, go back to my room. I take a shower. Like, I change. And then I'm like, I want a gelato. So I go to this place. Like, I'm in kind of the town center. It's called Rocky. R-A-K-I. The thing is, when you're in Italy, you're like, oh, there's gelato everywhere. And yes, there is, but most of it is industrial. You know, like, it's made in a factory and shipped to all these gelato places. So it's not like legit all these places are making their own gelato, which it's expected. I mean, gelato places are popular, so you cannot expect every place to make their own gelato. It's a lot of work. People don't realize it. Everything in pastry is a lot of work. Kitchens, period. Anyway, I found a place that makes their own gelato. Other people found out about it too, so this place always had lines. I went there, I got a sugar cone. They put mascarpone gelato, which was so good. You know, mascarpone is Italian cream cheese. And then I also got, like, this cherry ice cream, well, or gelato. So good. Made me happy. And then I decide, oh, I'm going to go to the town center and sit and get a cappuccino. So I went to this very busy, I think it was called Franco's Bar. I sat down, I got a cappuccino, and I just, like, watched, you know, the world. Like, all these people walking by, tables, families. And it was nice. Like, it was nice. Like, I never do this. I never take a moment. And that day, I was just in it. I was just enjoying myself, okay? And then I'm like, oh, I'm hungry. So then there's this, like, Amsterdam French fry place. So I get these really delicious French fries made with, like, the potatoes are different. In Europe, they're different. They're very, very yellow. And they have a really nice flavor. So it's known that there, they, you know, they make the French fries and you serve it with mayo. And there the mayo is a lot thicker. It has more yolk in it. Like, it's yellow. It's like white yellow. It has a different color. Like, in the US, it's more white. Anyway, I love European mayo. So I had that. I put like curry ketchup on it, which is a thing. Like in Europe, curry ketchup is a thing. It's just curry mixed in the ketchup. It's a little bit sweeter than regular ketchup. But anyway, in Germany, it's a big thing. And I love curry ketchup. So here I am in Italy having these French fries with mayo. And then I'm like, oh, I need a nap. So I go back to my room, you know, and I'm just having like the best day. And then I go look at some shops. I find these beautiful earrings. So what makes these earrings special, like there they have a lot of special jewelry, either with pink coral. There's a lot of pink coral there, which they probably shouldn't, you know, make jewelry out of it because coral's supposed to stay in the ocean. But anyway, it was very pretty. I didn't get any. But then they have these seashells, and they're quite large shells, kind of like conch-like, which now that I'm thinking about is probably terrible too. Like they take these shells, but they make jewelry out of these shells. So they carve designs into the outside of the shell, and then the inside of the shell is pink. So when you carve something, you know, like let's say they make a design of a woman's silhouette or a face onto this shell. When you carve into it, right, or they probably don't carve, but, you know, when they make a design on it, it makes the shell more translucent. So then with the light coming from behind, you see this pink, you know, and it's beautiful. And it's very, like, time-consuming, I'm sure. So they had earrings like this with tiny pieces of shell and, like, flower designs and, you know, so when you put the earrings on, you have a shell design, and in the back, there's like a pink coming through. So anyway, I got, you know, these earrings, which are beautiful. And then I got this really pretty leather bag, like this cute little handbag. Like here, handbags are expensive, you know, like quality, right? If you want quality, and most things aren't leather anymore. So there, I got this really pretty leather Italian handbag. It was 20... Actually, 15 euros, right? That's maybe like $20. But it's quality. So I got that, you know. So I'm just spending a day by myself. And then my friend says, you know, the one who's getting married, like she's doing her own thing. But she's like, my friend, like her friend is coming into town with her husband and another friend. And why don't I meet up with them? So I did that. I met them at another cafe. And they're US. They're American. They live in Florida, and one person is from California. I hung out with them at their Airbnb. We went to the grocery store. I got like European products, things that I missed, you know, from living in Europe, like especially the yogurt. Like they have hazelnut yogurt, which I love, and it's just delicious. You know, hazelnuts there are like peanuts here. Like they're just very common, like pecans. Like they don't have pecans in Europe, but in the US, pecans are everywhere, right? Same with hazelnuts there. So they put hazelnuts in everything, and I love it. I love the hazelnut flavor. Because the next day, I went back to that gelato shop, and I got a hazelnut gelato with a ricotta gelato. So it was like ricotta, walnut, honey. It was delicious. So anyway, I hung out with them, and then we went out to dinner. I think it was a place, Frank's? I don't know, but it was very pretty. The entrance, it was kind of touristy, you know, like you could tell this is a place for tourists. But I had a gnocchi. It was called a gnocchi alla Sorrentina, which is made kind of like a creamy tomato sauce with prosciutto. It had like prosciutto in the sauce. And the gnocchi was handmade. It was delicious. But we ate kind of late. And I was like, oh, I'm so full. But it was really delicious. And then the next day, I didn't do anything in the morning. I really just like laid in bed. It was raining. That day was very chilly, and I'm like, okay, I don't need to do anything. I'll just rest. So I did that, and it rained like a fair amount. It wasn't cold, it just rained. Okay, so later on, that's when I went and got more gelato. I got an espresso at this other bar where you stand and you just drink your espresso. And then that day was a rehearsal dinner. I met my friend and her family, and we walked together down to the part of the marina. So you go through like all these alleyways and beautiful like stone, like walls and stone buildings and cobblestone streets, like very, very romantic. And then this guitar player met with the bride-to-be and her husband, and he started playing, you know, all these classic Italian songs like Volare and, okay, I don't know these songs, but it was very pretty, you know. And then the tourists started taking pictures of them. So then all her guests and me, like, were walking down with her as the guitarist is following her, playing music. And then the tourists are on the side, like, taking pictures. It was all very, quite amusing, you know? Kind of like you see in the movies. I don't know. It was very surreal. And now we're in the marina. Like, the sun is setting. We go to this pizza place that she picked out. And this whole dinner is happening outside. Like, at this point, there's no more rain. And it's just a beautiful night. Like, you can see the moon. It's full moon. This night was surreal. It was just so beautiful. Okay. And then we get to this pizza place. Next to the pizza place, like a level above, is this balcony. And this Italian woman is hanging her laundry, right? So at the pizza place, there's a mandolin player, and all these people are now arriving, and they're loud. Okay. So the woman hanging her laundry gets angry, and she starts yelling down at the pizza place, like, and they start having this argument, you know. And I'm like, this is so Italian. It's great. So the whole, like, party starts sitting outside, and it's his family, it's her family. It's like, I don't know, 30 people, maybe, like, a good amount. And they start bringing out these different pizzas. Like, we have pizza Napoletana, which is just like plain tomato with mozzarella and basilico. And it was delicious. Like, that's one of my favorite pizzas. It's very simple, but the crust was perfect. Their pizza oven looked beautiful. I took a picture of it. And then they bring out this other pizza. It had shrimp, like local shrimp. They're very small, but soft, with this giant ball of burrata in the center. And I'm like, yes, like, I am totally going to town on that. And then there was another pizza with lemon and arugula, which was delicious. It had no tomato sauce. It was a white pizza. Anyway, I'm just eating. I'm like so full, but I can't stop. They bring out limoncello spritz. People are drinking. They're eating pizza. They have these, like, delicious deep fried ravioli, which are so good. If you ever see deep fried ravioli, so it's ravioli, they bread it, and then they deep fry it. Like, how can you not go wrong with that? Like, that is such a good idea. So here I am eating deep fried ravioli, pizza. They bring out, like, fried shrimp, and it was so good, okay? And then the bride and the groom, they thank everybody for coming. It was beautiful. But then one of the guests starts, you know, he drank too much, and he starts being very loud, and we start randomly talking about plastic islands out in the ocean. You know, like, all the plastic trash that accumulates in the ocean? Like, now you have these giant plastic ocean islands, right? Like, in the middle of the ocean. And I don't know why we were talking about that, but he didn't believe me. He's saying it's all made up. He's like, have you ever seen one? And I was like, well, no, because I'm not in the middle of the ocean, in the middle of nowhere. Like, who is, right? Unless you're looking for it. So he didn't believe that they existed. So we got into this huge argument. I said, are you a Republican? And then that caused other issues. Anyway, I had to leave the table. I left the table and I sat with the bride at another table and just ignored that guest for the night. And then I walked back up all the steps with the bride and her fiance and her friends. And that was the night. Like, so the next day was the wedding, the Italian wedding, the reason I went to Italy, like, the main reason, right? The reason I went to Italy was so many reasons, but this was the reason I was invited, right? Like, this was the reason that led me to Italy, even though I had, like, so many other reasons for myself. Again, that morning, I take my time, like, no rush, because the wedding, I don't have to be there till, like, 3. And even then, like, that's early, because technically the wedding started at 6, but the bride said, I can be there at 3, help her set up. Okay, so that morning, I have espresso, like I take my time, you know, just hang out. So they have the wedding at Tramontano. So it's like right, it's built on the edge of the cliff. Amazing. And that day was pretty windy, but the sun was still out, like it was a nice day. Very high-end hotel. Like this is probably the hotel. Or I think the wedding was across from the Tramontano. Anyway, it was beautiful. Okay, so it was called the Hotel Sirene. And that's where it was at, built on the side of a cliff. Like, just, this is like number one place to be. Number one place to have a wedding, even. I arrive, okay, the bride, like, arrives later. I see on her Instagram, like, she's already had makeup on, like, 3 hours prior. Like, they're taking pictures, like, doing all this stuff. I hang out with the groom's family, who's German. Like, go figure, right? They're from Germany, so I'm speaking German with them. The groom is German, but he lives in the U.S., so I'm speaking German with him. It was just very amusing. You know, the bride is there with her bridesmaids. I help her. And then it's time for the wedding, you know? So I'm taking video for her. The ceremony was very fast, but beautiful. You know, it's right overlooking the ocean from top of the cliff. They put like plastic covering. There's a balcony, but they covered it because it's so windy. They do the vows. It was just very pretty, you know? And I love weddings. Like, weddings are beautiful. I have faith. I have faith and love in marriage, even though I can't seem to get the perfect thing for myself, but I still enjoy weddings. And I believe that it's real. Like, I believe it exists. And that person is there, you know? For everyone, in some form, I guess. So we did that, and then there's a reception, a bridal party. They go and they get pictures taken. So I wasn't a part of that. So I start eating food, and then they have more limoncello spritz. But I want a mimosa. They didn't know what that was because I guess that's Spanish. That's not Italian. So I have to tell them in like broken Italian, like champagne, aranciata, you know. So the other one there at the bar was like, ah, mimosa. Sì, mimosa. So I get my mimosa. Meanwhile, everyone at the wedding is like American. And they're like, you drinking mimosa? I'm like, yeah. So they start giving out more fried ravioli, which I'm happy to eat. They have these roasted like Spanish almonds, which are delicious. I'm eating olives. Like, they have this really delicious, like, raw food, like raw salmon. I'm having a great time. Then the bridal party comes out. Turns out they haven't eaten anything. So I give them like extra plates that I had. And then they go over for the actual reception, which is in a different room. And it's just very grandiose, right? Like, beautiful table settings, flowers. I mean, just beautiful. And then they have this 5-course menu. Wow. You know, it was beautiful. It was very windy at first. So they had heat lamps because now we're on the edge of the cliff, like eating at the edge of the cliff with like the plastic, you know, on the balcony, stopping the wind from coming in. But it didn't really. So then you had these heat lamps stopping and keeping you warm to deter from the winds. So the German side of the family, they were kind of in the windy section, so they complained. So all the servers had to move the whole table over. So they moved the table I was at somewhere completely different, like kind of to the colder area and behind a pillar. So we were like the reject table. So we're sitting at this table wondering, like, what's going on? What's happening? We can't see the rest of the wedding happening. So then we complain and we say, can we get moved to the middle? So we all get up and the servers move the whole table with the whole table setting and drinks and all. And it was very amusing. And the bride is just like looking like this whole table coming in. And she's like, oh, okay. So then we sit, the food starts to come out. And what is it that we started with? It was a lobster velouté. Delicious. You know, everything was seafood and it was delicious. Like, I ate this whole thing. And then It was like this seafood pasta. Okay. Very, very good. Like, you can tell everything's high quality, but the pasta is very al dente. Like, this to Italians, this is like the way you should eat pasta. But it was too, not raw, but it needed more time, like for me. Okay. So I'm like not that into it because it's too just chewy. And then next is risotto. It was, I forget what kind of risotto, but it also had seafood. It was delicious, actually. It was very good. But again, it was more al dente. So I'm like, wow, these are, I wasn't that into it because it was just too al dente. Okay. So then the actual meal comes out and I got like the seafood platter, just delicious. You know, there were these large shrimp on the plate. You had tuna, but instead of serving tuna seared, you know, usually it's raw and you just sear it because it's so delicate. You don't want to ruin that. There, they cooked the ahi tuna through, which I think ruined it. I was like, why would you cook it through? You know, so that was like my least favorite thing when normally I love ahi tuna, but it was just this like really delicious shrimp platter. Seafood platter, you know, with all these different seafoods on it. There was also squid. And then they had the cake. Okay, this is what happened. The cake comes out. Like normally here in the US, you have the cake out way in the beginning, right? At the beginning of the reception, you see the cake. And it's out the whole time. Here, they bring it out at the end of all these courses, right? Like you have the velouté, you have the pasta, you have the risotto, you have the seafood platter. Okay, so we're like 3 hours in. And then they bring out the cake. Like this cake was very grandiose. It was very old school, like traditional Italian, right? It had fondant. It had like fondant hearts. It was a very... just old school design, but it was very pretty. Okay. So I guess the pastry chef, I think, they bring it out and they put like roses and flowers around it. And then even the chef is like taking pictures, which I'm like, I would too, right? But that's why here you set it up so early because you can still take all those pictures like before the wedding actually starts. There you can't. So the chef has to like go in there and take pictures at night. So they're setting everything up. Turns out they're testing like fireworks, like not actual fireworks, but the fountains, right? So they're setting up like pyrotechnics behind the cake. And I'm like, what is about to happen? Like this is going down. Okay. So the bride and groom, they get behind the cake. I think it was her uncle, like her father's brother. Her father had passed like years prior. So her uncle starts singing a song in Italian. It was beautiful. And then they cut the cake. Turns out, though, I don't think the cake was real. Like, this was like a fake cake. So they just, like, cut into the fondant. They didn't eat it. So I'm like, can you do that? Is that, like, bad luck? I don't know. They're not eating it. But it doesn't matter because so much is going on. Like, then the fountain starts, the pyrotechnics starts. The uncle is singing like this operatic voice. Everyone's cheering, everyone's clapping, and then dancing starts. Then everyone's like shaking their white napkins because white napkins is what you shake in Italy at weddings. Like that's just what you do. Maybe it's good luck. I don't know. So we're all shaking like our white napkins. We get, as a souvenir, right? Like everyone gets kind of a memento of the wedding. We get a tambourine. And in Italy, there's a dance called the tarantella. Historically, I guess a bride got bitten by a tarantula and she danced in circles so fast that it was kind of, she got into a frenzy. And because of this frenzy, she released the poison of the spider. Okay. And this is known as the tarantella. And now it's this traditional dance and you're just dancing in the skirts and the skirts are flying up. And you're dancing in a circle, okay? So the bride kind of put on the show with the bridesmaids and they dance in circles and everyone's cheering, everyone's using the tambourine. everyone else is like watching, dancing. And then we do a train, and we're doing a train dance with this like DJ, you know. It was just, the whole thing was very fun, you know, and then everyone's dancing. And then it finishes with this dessert. So we get a part of the cake, which was not the real cake. And it couldn't have been, because this cake was very soft. What I saw was the fondant cake, but on the plate, there was no fondant. Anyway, the fondant cake was fake. We got a different cake, but it was delicious. It was like cream-filled sponge cake, like very simple, but tasty. And then you got these mini desserts. So a mini rhumbaba, a mini sfogliatella. I ate all of it, you know. Of course I'm going to eat all of it. Like, come on. And then they bring out this, it's like a hulled orange shell. Okay, so you've got a shell from an actual orange. They hull out the insides. But they put in these like macerated Bosque miniature strawberries. So there was a German guy at the table, and he was so excited that he was eating like all these other oranges from everybody else. Because the Americans, they didn't get it, you know? And I was like explaining to them, like, this is, you know, rare. You can't find this in the US. Meanwhile, the German guy is just eating from all of them. He's super excited. And the Americans are like, oh, it's sour. I'm like, shut up, eat it. Like, you're never gonna find this again, eat it. And then they brought out this lemon sorbet, you know, again, lemons, the area, it's all about lemons. So that was like a must have. And that was it. Like, that was it. You know, the bride and groom, like, we're dancing, they're thanking everyone. And I leave. Like, I go home. There was talk that they were going out, but at this point, it's almost midnight, you know. Like, this is it for me. I'm done. I go back to my room. The next day, I had to leave. So I packed, like, that morning. I didn't have anything else to do. I packed, and I took the train. Like, I took all my suitcase. Like, I wasn't going to go back to Sorrento. I took the train to Pompeii, because later on that day, I was staying at another kind of like bed and breakfast, because my flight was leaving the following day at 6 a.m. So I had to get up super early. So anyway, this was my one chance to go to Pompeii. So I took the train there. It was like pretty busy. It was kind of hot. I checked my bag, you know, so I didn't have to take it with me. Also, they don't want you to take it with you. They don't want bags everywhere. So they have all these areas where you check your bag for a rate, and then you can go through Pompeii. Let me tell you about Pompeii. Pompeii is so cool. Okay, so Pompeii is situated kind of right on the coast, like the ocean is right there. Throughout history, it used to be closer to the ocean, but now somehow it's further away. But historically, like, usually you hear about the ocean coming closer and eroding land. But in this case, Pompeii is now further away from the ocean. But back in the day, Pompeii was right by the ocean. Okay, so I don't understand that logistic, but that's how it was. And Pompeii is overlooking Mount Vesuvius. So Mount Vesuvius is right by Pompeii. Okay, so you can see the two. Mount Vesuvius is an active volcano. It hasn't been active since 1944, which was the last like eruption. But anyway, Pompeii was a thriving city of 20,000 people. You know, very modern, everything is going great. Then one day, Mount Vesuvius erupts. Everything happens very quickly. It covers everything in ash. It's like hot, you know, lava, hot dust, hot ash. And this whole city is covered. Like, whole of Pompeii is covered. You know, so throughout the years, and this has taken forever, right? So I had a tour book with me from 2009. Like, right, that's when I visited. That's when I worked in Italy. Since then, okay, so it's 2009. I mean, 16 years later now, they've uncovered so much more. Like, I know that because I saw the map in my guidebook, right, from 2009. But now, 2025, they've cleaned up so much more. They've excavated so much more of Pompeii. And it's still an ongoing thing, okay? So what Pompeii is, it was covered in volcanic ash and lava. And what they've done throughout this whole time is they've excavated like the lava, the ash. So they've uncovered houses that have these beautiful frescoes inside the house. You know, it hasn't seen the light of day in hundreds of years, which is incredible. So you can basically tour through the whole of Pompeii, through all these walkways, you know, and historically, Pompeii was by the ocean. So they would clean the streets. They would just open up the water from the ocean and it would clean the streets of Pompeii. So you had these large steps, these tall stones in the middle of the streets where you would like stand on if you had like ocean water coming your way. And the sidewalks were super high up because of this ocean water. Okay, so the streets were lower and there were all these bricks and they had carts going through, right? So the carts, the wheels, could go through these higher brick steps. I don't know if you can like imagine that, but it was crazy. Like it was just like history stood still in Pompeii this whole time. And now you're walking through this historic city. It was like just incredible. So they had like these bakeries there where they had these old outdoor ovens, you know, and they had mills where they would grind their own flour and make their own bread. They had these clay type pots where they would sell things in and grains, and like it was crazy, right? I was really blown away by how much they've uncovered. And then they had this huge theater, right? Like every town, it's like a regular town. They have a church, but instead of a church, they have like they believe in the gods, right? Like years ago. So they had this like all these pillars because they believed in Jupiter, right? And all these gods. So they had a place of worshiping, right? Like our church nowadays. They had a town center with all these old pillars where they would meet up and discuss about town and politics and whatnot. And then they had all these different houses and walkways and shops and places where they would sell stuff, you know. And then they had this giant theater, which would seat 5,000 people, where they would put on shows. And it was like just huge and incredible. And I don't know, it just blew me away. So I'm walking through enjoying it. It was hot, you know. And I'm like, okay, like now I'm done. Like I could have been there probably for like 8 hours. But after three, I'm like, I'm good. You know, because there were a lot of tourists. It was hot. I'm like, no, I need to get to Naples, right? So that was like my next thing. I took the train. I got to Naples. I'm standing the whole time because everyone else is getting there too. I've got my bags. I get to Naples. Guess what I see? A cafe. It's a Sfogliatella cafe. I'm like, I gotta go. I gotta go in there. So they have sfogliatella with all these different flavors. So I got a pear sfogliatella. It was delicious. I got a cappuccino. I'm sitting out there in Naples. Crazy traffic. Like Naples is, it's just like the speed of New York, you know, but old buildings. You've got this Italian flag waving in the distance. You've got all these cars honking. You've got people, you know, speaking Italian, and you hear Americans, of course, like Americans are everywhere. So prior, I knew how to get to my bed and breakfast. Like I've mapped it all out. I know which bus to take, right? I get on a bus and nobody's paying. They're just getting on. So I'm like, okay, I'll just get on. It's getting packed. I have to get off in a few stops and it's just getting packed, right? I've got this bag with me. So I squeeze through. I'm like, scoozy, scoozy. You know, I get out. I go up this area. It's this giant, giant bridge. So where I'm staying is close to the airport. I did it intentionally so that I didn't have to stress, right? I could get to the airport quickly. But it's like a giant bridge kind of up above. And they have the town down below. Okay, so as I'm walking through the streets, there's this bridge up above, which I guess goes to the airport. You know, I don't know, but it was very like inner city. So I'm walking through, there's like a church more modern, like less old, you know, but it's like kind of central. And then next to that is this like chicken rotisserie place. And I'm like, yes, like that's what I want. I've been eating all these carbs. I need like pure protein. I'm going to get me a whole chicken, right? So that's like my plan. Let me get to the bed and breakfast first. I get to the bed and breakfast, and then there's nobody there 24/7. You need to call a phone number to get in. Like, I checked in, I made a reservation, but the thing is, I don't have Wi-Fi. So I couldn't connect. Okay, so I'm like, what do I do now? Like, I'm just standing outside this gate. I can't get in. And I see this random person, like Italian person, on a moped. You know, he pulls out his cell phone, he's doing his thing. And I said, you know, scusi, you know. And then English comes out. I'm like, do you have a phone that works? Like, can you dial this number? So he's about to dial the number. But then the person that comes up, that kind of, he helps with the bed and breakfast. Luckily, he showed up at the right time. He lets me in. I'm able to get into my room. Thank goodness. I get settled. You know, he makes reservation for me for the cab because I need the cab at 4 a.m. because my flight is at like 6 a.m. And then, like, I feel better. Everything's set. Okay, and now it's like 5 p.m. at night. And I do a little bit of walking. But Naples is not, this part of Naples is not so pretty as Sorrento. Like, I'm sure there's nice parts of Naples. But, you know, there's a lot of trash. And every balcony has its laundry hanging out, which is not a bad thing. It just, like, changes the vibe, right? So I go by this chicken rotisserie place. I get a whole chicken. I'm so hungry at this point because I haven't really eaten much all day. And I'm eating, like, I ate probably 85% of this chicken. It was so good. It was seasoned perfectly. It was so good. I don't know. I just felt like, okay, this is it. Like, this is perfect. This is the perfect ending. I had a whole chicken. So I wake up the next day. This driver comes. I'm nervous because it's 4 a.m. Like, nobody's up. I hope this taxi comes. He does. He arrives right on time. I was pretty impressed. And he takes me to the airport. It's 25 euros, okay? This was only like 2 miles. It wasn't even far, but it's all uphill and I don't know where I'm going and it's all cobblestone streets. Like, I would have just walked it, but at 4 a.m., it's like a different story. So I gave him the 24 euros. He's like, it's fine, it's fine. I was like, yeah, it's fine. You're overcharging me. But anyway, I didn't say that. I already checked in, right? So I have a American passport and German passport. So I'm good both ways. I already like checked in, because usually when you have an American passport and you're abroad, you can't check in. You have to go to the counter. I was able to bypass this, which was very nice. So I get to the gate and they're already starting to like check people in. Again, clusters, like there's no zones. Nobody cares about zones, but they're going through passports, making sure you have all the documentation. So now we're standing in lines. We get on to the plane. So this is the plane from Naples to Paris. We had to take a bus. Airports are small, and in Europe, they're even smaller. So you don't have the space to have all these planes next to each other, like right next to the entryway, you know, of the airport. So you have to take a bus from the actual airport to the plane. The thing is, I think the bus got lost. So we're driving around on this bus for like 20 minutes. You know, all these people with their bags and everything. And we're just kind of looking at each other like, this airport is tiny. Why are we driving 20 minutes to get to this plane? We were all very confused. We finally get to the plane and we get on. And there's no like rhyme or reason. There's no line. You can get on the back or the front. And everyone's just like kind of scurrying, like rushing to get on. Finally get on. We make it to Paris. The flight did leave delayed. So now in Paris, I'm like stressed, you know, because I don't have that much time. The plane boards in 40 minutes, but I'm on the other side of the airport, so I have to get over there, and it takes 20. So anyway, I'm like fast-paced, you know. I got my bag with me. Everything's good. And then you have to check your passports. Like, you have to go through security. So the thing was, there's this huge long line, and it's all Americans. And then there's a line for Europeans. And there's, like, nobody. So I'm like, I gotta pull out my other passport. I gotta pull out my German passport. But it was in my bag. So anyway, I just exit the American line, and I get to the front of the European line. And then there's nobody, right? I pull out the passport. Anyway, this woman, like, security, she's like, You have European passport? Like, doubting me, because I guess I look so American, right? And I pull it out. I'm like, yes. Anyway, so the difference is they scan it, right? And there's nobody checking. There's nobody stamping. But in the American passports, they have to stamp. You know, it's different. So I was able to save like 20 minutes just by standing in that line because of my German passport. And then I still have a ways to go. So I'm like rushing through. I get to the gate. They're already boarding. Again, no zones. Everyone's just going through. I make it, like, I bypassed all those other Americans that were in line before. And I get on the plane. Like, thank goodness I'm on the plane. And it's a large plane. You know, you've got three by the window, four people in the middle, and three by the other window. I sit, like, I'm in the middle on the aisle. And then there's another man on the other side of me, like on the other aisle, right? But there's nobody next to me. Like, the middle two seats are empty. So we look at each other like, oh my God, is this going to be empty? Like, we're super excited, you know, because the plane's like almost full. It's almost ready to go. And we're just like looking at each other, like smiling, you know, we're like, yes. So the captain's even starting to talk. So we're like, oh my God, we're so good. Next thing I know, people show up, a couple, and they sit next to me and the other guy. Like, so the plane was completely full, no space, someone sitting next to me. The worst part is the woman next to me had the worst breath. I swear to God, halitosis times 100. It smelled like death. Like, it was a bad, bad breath, you know. I understand having bad breath on occasion, you know, maybe if you're hungry or you had coffee and you just haven't eaten, you know, but this woman, bad. Like, I had to use a scarf to cover my nose. Like, it was bad. So I'm like, oh my God, like, this is a 14-hour flight. Actually 12. It was like 12. The total trip was 14 hours. This is a 12-hour flight. Like, how am I going to make this? It was rough. Because every time, you know, there was breath, like breathing, it was not good. We did get a full meal. So I'm like, oh, maybe she just had to eat. And it helped a little bit. But then it was back to like death breath. But how, as a husband, how does that work? How does that dynamic work if a partner has really bad breath? I don't know. I hope that never happens to me. I'm just saying that was the case on the flight. And I watch all these movies. And anyway, before the plane is like starting, there's Wi-Fi, like I'm just scrolling on Instagram. And then I see this video, right? Let me tell you about this video. The mom makes dinner. And I guess the son is filming or like something. The mom makes dinner. The dinner burns. And the mom is totally like upset. She's like, I ruined dinner. You know, she starts to cry. Her husband comes, you know, and he's like, what's going on? You know, and she's like, I burned dinner. She's crying. And obviously there's music playing, right? Like, I don't know their conversation. I just know based on body language. He takes her, like his wife, and he just hugs her, you know, and she's like crying even more because she burned dinner, and he just hugs her. And then the son comes and he gets in there, and then they do a group hug. And it totally made me cry. Like, is that lame? Like, it totally made me cry because, you know, like, let's say you make dinner and you're in a mood, right? You just want to get it done. Meanwhile, it burns, like, and you're pissed, right? Like, I could totally see that. And then, like, let's say your husband comes in or your boyfriend, whatever, and let's say you give him attitude, right? Like, what the fuck? I totally burned dinner, you know? And then he could totally be like, why did you fucking burn dinner? You know, it totally could have been this major argument, right? Not that it should, but it could have, right? But instead, he doesn't say anything. He grabs her and he just hugs her. And that is all she freaking needed, right? Everyone makes mistakes. Things happen. Life happens. And he just hugs her. And you just fucking need a hug. And it was so sweet. It was so sweet because sometimes that's all you need, okay? And it just made me cry because simple things. Like, it's not hard to hug. It's not hard to just be a person, right? And not say something stupid and make the situation worse. Like, sometimes it's okay to just hug someone and not say anything. And I thought this was so sweet. So here I am on the plane next to this woman with death breath. And I just start crying because of this freaking Instagram video. So that's all I do, like, the way back. I'm just watching movies. I think I saw, what is that movie with Lady Gaga? Star is Born. Oh my God, I could not stop crying with that movie. It's been so long since I have seen it. It's such a good movie. Obviously, it's a remake from the Barbra Streisand original. And again, like, you know, he committed suicide and he couldn't get over his past. He couldn't get over what he'd been through. And he felt that he was just making his wife's life worse because of his actions, right? So he put all this guilt on himself. And, like, it was so unnecessary. Why did he kill himself? It was so unnecessary. Like, people just need to talk. People just need to communicate. And half of the issues would probably go away. Like, if you know what this other person is feeling, then don't you feel better? Because there's no secrets. Like, you know what's going on. Like, just talk. Okay, that's my lesson. That's my lesson to you for the day. Talk and take 10 minutes to figure out, you know, time for yourself. I'm watching like 5 movies this whole time. I kind of sleep. And now I'm like warping into the future, right? Like, now it's daytime. I missed like another night of sleep. I'm in LA. I take that flyaway bus back to Van Nuys, which takes like an hour because I'm in traffic. And I'm in LA and it's warm and it's much warmer than it was in Italy. And then I'm at that flyaway place and instead of taking the bus back, I'm just so tired. I take a taxi, which is still like $30, right? Because it's 20 minutes away. But whatever, I just needed to get back. I get back because I have to work the next day, but I just like do some unpacking. I just sit and I go to bed at like 6 p.m. and that's it. Like, that was my week. I know it took like forever to talk about it with all these interruptions, but now I'm back to my regular schedule of working and waking up at 4 a.m. But I will start teaching in a couple weeks, so we'll see how that goes. And today, you know, I just sold that lamp. And then today, I'm meeting a friend and we're having dumplings because today is my day off. Like, I needed some time. I needed a few days to find the time to record. And even that took hours. Like, how does this take hours? I have so much to talk about. This is what happens when I don't record enough. So thank you for listening. Sorry I'm late. Thank you for listening to Cat the Baker. Until next time.